Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. While the American media this week focused on very important and relevant issues, such as how did Michael Jackson die, did Herman Cain engage in inappropriate conduct towards some of his former employees, did Justin Bieber act indecently and committed sexual acts, and of course I'm speaking facetiously, there were some issues which the American media did address which were important. Issues like what is happening over there in Europe with the European crisis, or what's happening in this country insofar as the job market and the economy is concerned. But one issue was pretty much not addressed this week, an issue which was addressed constantly before. I mean, you couldn't turn the TV on and you didn't see and couldn't see like rebels having their guns and walking in a very disciplined way over there in the Middle East. And again, I'm speaking facetiously. But that topic has been pretty much put on the back burner. But that doesn't mean it's going away. I have titled this program today, The Nightmare of the Arab Spring, or Arab Spring, a Nightmare, however you want to call it. Why would I say that? I say that because what we are seeing right now in the Middle East is developing into something which most people have no concept of. Everybody was praising those rebellious activities, saying this is just great, people are longing for democracy, they are doing away with their despots, their tyrannical leadership, and they don't realize what they are talking about. Let me read to you from an article which was published by Newsmax, dated October 26. And they quoted none other but Donald Trump in this particular article, saying this. He said that the removal and killing of Libyan despot Muammar Gaddafi will result in a disaster. Because, quote, at least he had control of his weapons. And under the new leadership, the United States won't have any idea whose fingers are on the triggers. You know what, he said, when you look at him, he said, and I couldn't care less for Gaddafi, but when you look at the way they treated him, I mean, these are the people we are going to be dealing with. Do you think we really made a bargain here? We spent billions of dollars and we got nothing, he said. And quite frankly, you have to agree with him on that. When I watched those pictures of those rebels shooting guns in the air, I said, these are the people who are going to rule and lead that new country? What a nightmare. If you are in any doubt as to where Libya is going, let me read to you from the AFP, which had this to say on October 24. The announcement that Islamic Sharia law will be the basis of legislation in newly liberated Libya has raised concerns, especially among women. And you will recall that interim leader Mustafa Abdel Jalil said that Sharia law will now be the basis for their constitutional laws. This article goes on to say the comments have provoked criticism and calls for restraint, both in Libya and in Europe, amid fears that the Arab Spring may give rise to a potentially intolerant Islamic resurgence. Libya's Islamists are a rising force in the country's political arena. And the British paper The Telegraph added this on October 25. Libya is already the most conservative state in North Africa. Mr. Abdul Jalil's decision will please the Islamists, who have played a strong role in opposition to Gaddafi's rule and in the uprising, but will worry the many young liberal Libyans. And they have any and every reason to worry. Because if you have this kind of a situation in Libya, you won't have democracy for sure. You won't have a very good relationship to the West either. That's for sure. But what about Tunisia? Now that's a country where it all started, as you will recall. The Associated Press reported on October 25 Islamists on Monday claimed victory in Tunisia's first democratic election, sending a message to other states in the region that long sidelined Islamists are challenging for power after the quote-unquote Arab Spring. And here's an article by Deutsche Welle adding this on October 25. Various observers have expressed concern that this Islamist party has links with the country's radical Islamist Salafist movement. And of course, that party denies that, saying, oh, we are just a moderate party. And of course, the press is jumping on that, saying, oh, well, this is just a moderate movement. And again, they don't know what they're talking about, as they haven't been able to really point out the facts insofar as this whole Arab Spring movement is concerned. Der Spiegel wrote on October 25, the strong showing by Islamists in Tunisia's election has raised doubts about the Arab Spring. And then they quote the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung saying this, Tunisia is deeply rooted in Islam and its history. Not a few Tunisians who voted for other parties fear that this Islamist party which came to power is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And then they quote the financial daily Handelsblatt saying this, Tunisia ushered in an era of free elections in the Arab Spring countries under the Islamist party promptly winning a clear victory. In Egypt, where the parliamentary election is planned for November, the Muslim Brotherhood is likely to earn the most votes. And just today there was some discussion about whether the Muslim Brotherhood is initiating another uprising because they're not happy with what the army in Egypt is trying to do. It goes on to say that for the Libyans, who will likely vote in a few months, the Islamists will also play a big role. We should get used to the fact that democracy in many Arab countries will create strong Islamist parties. We have created or helped to create a situation in the Middle East which will terribly backfire on the Western world. But some may say, well, what's such a big deal about it? So yes, we have some moderate Islamist parties that take over in the Middle East, but they will have still friendly relationship with the Western world, with America, with Europe, with Israel. Don't you kid yourself. Are you joking? Let me read to you from Newsmax, an article which was published October 25. Attacked by mobs and terrorists, repressed by the growing popularity of fundamentalist Islamists, and cut off from crucial business ties, Christians are fleeing the Middle East in an unprecedented exodus. More than half of Iraqi Christians, an estimated 400,000 people, have left that country over the last decade as power has fallen in the hands of increasingly hostile Shia Islamic leaders. In Egypt, home to at least 8 million Coptic Christians, a number that exceeds the populations of Israel, Lebanon, Jordan, and Tunisia, at least 95,000 Christians have emigrated since March 2011. The situation threatens to worsen as the Arab Spring removes dictators who paradoxically shielded Christian communities. The parties are gaining power in Libya, these Islamist parties, Egypt, Tunisia, and other countries. They tend to be offshoots of the fundamentalist Muslim Brotherhood. And then they go on to add, on October 30, Christian Syrians have clung to the government of President Assad, despite the regime's own atrocities and his threats against the West. They fear what might happen if Assad fell, having seen what has happened in neighboring countries. Indeed, many Christians who have fled sectarian strife in countries such as Iraq have ended up in Syria. And so here you have it again. Christians are leaving those countries in fear of persecution by Islamists who are becoming more and more powerful now. Let me just tell you, my friends, that the Bible makes very clear that an outright war is going to happen in the Middle East, that the relationships between the West, especially Europe, and those Arab nations will deteriorate. Yes, there will be some quote-unquote friendly relationship for a while. It will deteriorate. It will deteriorate in such a way that a United States of Europe, which is forming as we speak, will militarily intervene in those regions. That's how bad it's going to become. The Frankenstein monster, which the West has helped to create, will turn against its maker and will prompt the United States of Europe, with a mighty, powerful United Army, which is developing over there, to invade those countries. That is what the Bible says is going to happen. When we saw this Arab Spring develop, we should have known right away that this wasn't coincidental. You see, many years ago, when the Berlin Wall fell within a few days, when the Iron Curtain countries separated from Russia within a few months, we knew, didn't we, that this wasn't coincidental. We understood that forces were motivating and initiating that development because it was necessary from a prophetic standpoint that Germany unites, because Germany is destined to lead Europe in the future. And they're already leading it right now. At the same time, when the Arab Spring started, it started because some guy over there in Tunisia set himself on fire because of protest. But these kind of suicides have happened hundreds of times before without any consequence. Now it suddenly started a revolution over there in this area. Why? Because now the time for it was ripe. And the Bible has to be true. And the prophecies have to come to fulfillment. And the relationships between the West and those Arab nations will change. And the Bible makes this very clear. And it is time for us to wake up, not to listen to those who talk about the warm spring over there in the Arab world. We have to realize it's going to be a cold winter pretty soon. And all of us will be affected by it. Let's make sure we understand what the Bible has to say about these things. And let's not get involved in political discussions as to whether it was right or wrong, or to do this or that and the other thing, because let God be true, and every man a liar. Thanks very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.